You know, when somebody tells you evolution's a lie, it's kind of like, you know, when your mummy and daddy tell you that there was no Santa Claus. You know, it's a shock to your system. But of course, it's true when you think about it, but that's the trouble. Most people, they don't think about it, you know. You go to school, you know, and the teacher tells you evolution. You go to senior school, teacher tells you evolution. You go to college, teacher tells you evolution. And you just, you know, swallow the lie without even thinking about it. You don't even give it any consideration. You ever read just one single book that's contrary to evolution? I doubt it. You ever read one single paragraph that's contrary to evolution? Ever read one pamphlet that's contrary to evolution? No, for the most of you, no, you just take it. Just swallow the lie and carry on, sleep your way to a lost eternity. You know? Well, people, think about it. That's all we're asking you to do this afternoon. Think about it. The Bible says, and with some authority, with the highest authority that there is, the voice of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You want to say, sir? You want to say? What's that got to do with what I'm saying? Everybody dies. Say again? I don't get your point, sir, eh? You know, disease is a reality, death's a reality. Death came into the world because of man's sin, and everybody has to die. You have to die, I have to die, everybody has to die. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this then comes the judgment. Death, you see, people, is the curse, you see. That's the judgment, you see, on man's sin. It's inescapable. So, anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted, I was talking about evolution, how it's a lie, right from the very pit of hell. If you stop and think about it, see, me and that guy, we were just talking just now, did you notice that? You know, if evolution were true, you couldn't even have a meaningful thought. We couldn't even have had that discussion, that guy and me, you know? If evolution were true. If evolution's true, then, you know, all you got is just a lump of matter, and you're just a piece that broke off of the matter. You're just a piece of chemical fizz. That's all you are. How can a piece of chemical fizz possibly have a reasonable, a rational debate? Huh? How do you get intelligence from matter? Huh? How do you get laws from matter? You know, in order to have a debate with somebody, you use what we call, you know, the universal law of logic, yeah? Everybody uses it, you know? I say to you, I get up out of bed this morning, so therefore I'm not in bed. You see, that's logical. That's what we do, you see? We use all the time, whether you're conscious of it or not, you use the law of logic. How do you get a law of logic from matter? From a lump of matter, which is all, you know, that the universe is, the world is, if according to evolution that is. How do you get the laws of nature? You see, you keep calling out science, 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 you see, science is the answer. You know, people walk by and they just shout at me, science. You know, I don't know what they mean by that. Well, I do, really. But, you know, they say science, science, science. Science is the answer to everything. No, it's not. No, it's not. How can you do science if evolution's true? Think about it, you know. Evolution says we live in a universe that is changing. If you live in a universe that's changing, you can't do science. You can only do science because the universe is not changing. See? Salt dissolves in water yesterday. Salt dissolves in water today. Will it dissolve in water tomorrow? Well, if you're an abolitionist, well, you can guarantee that. Have you? You can't guarantee that. You say you live in a changing universe. Well, that law might change tomorrow. What about the sun came up yesterday? The sun came up this morning. Will the sun come up tomorrow morning? If you're an abolitionist, you live in a changing universe, you can't guarantee that. But I can. Why? Because of the laws of nature. You don't get laws out of matter. Laws come from an intelligent mind. And the laws of nature came to you from God's mind. He who in the beginning created all things, yourself included. How can you do morality? How can you do morality? You know? Is it wrong for a man to rape a woman? Why? Is it wrong for one man to murder another? Why? Why is it wrong? If you're an evolutionist, isn't that just survival of the fittest? Huh? Isn't that just what animals do? And that's all you are, you see? Where do you get morality from? Why do you keep building prisons? Why do you have policemen? Why do you have courts? Why do you have judges? Why do you punish people? When all they're doing is, you know, the stronger overcoming the weaker, you know, survival of the fittest. That's what you say you believe, but of course you're not consistent. You don't really believe it. Not really. Why? Well, because you know differently. You know differently. You know that evolution is a lie. You know that God is. Because He says so. He says so in His Word in the Bible. He says He's made it plain to you. He's shown it to you. He says you even understand it, that God is. You know that God is. But you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For the simple reason you don't want there to be a God, for the same reason a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. But I've got bad news. I've got bad news for the thief. There is a policeman, and he's coming after you. But I've got good news for you who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. There's a way out. Submission to God. Raise the white flag. Surrender to the Almighty. Evidence, you say. Give me evidence. Prove that God exists. No, no. We won't do that. We won't go there. You know that God is. Your place is simply and only to raise the white flag in surrender to Almighty God, the God whom you know exists. And I'm not talking about the gods of idolatry. We're talking here about Islam. We're talking about Allah. We're talking about Muhammad. We're talking about the Pope. There's no hope in the Pope. A lot of people here in Warrington. It's a fairly popish town, isn't it? Good many of you, you know, that subscribe to that idolatrous religion. Well, you just the same as the atheist, just the same as all the rest of the idolaters, you know that God is the true and living God, the God of the Bible, and your place, along with all the rest of them, friends, is to bow the knee, is to raise the white flag and surrender to God in repentance and faith. So God requires of you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's what you call repentance, you see. To change your mind. You stop thinking your thoughts, and you begin to think God's thoughts after Him. By God says in the Bible, He says, come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. You reason with a Bible in your hands. This is where you find God's thoughts. in the Bible and in the Bible alone, nowhere else. And you begin to read his words, and you begin to think his thoughts, and you find your life, you find your heart changing. But you see, there has to be a change. There has to be this alteration of course. But of course, the bottom line is, you don't want to repent, you don't want to believe, you don't want to change. That's the problem, you see. Underlying all of this, you see, is your nature, your fallen, sinful nature. You were born in sin, conceived in sin, and that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. Because except a man is born again, he cannot see, understand, perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. Nobody ever desired God. Nobody ever desired repentance. Nobody ever desired to believe. No one ever desired God's Son until they were born again. You see, you hate what you should love, and you love what you should hate. You got this love affair going with sin, you see. It has to be broken off, but you don't even desire to break off the relationship. Not until you've been born again. Not until God changes your nature. How can you who are evil, says God, how can you possibly do good? For you, this is an impossibility, you see. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. The miracle of His grace, miracle of His salvation could be yours today. Who knows, maybe as we preach the gospel, maybe God's Spirit will come to you, speak inly to your soul, and bring you, you know, you'll hear the call and you'll come. And Jesus will transform and change your heart and your life and make you a new person. That's what it means, you see, to become a Christian. But it's not something you do. It's not something you do yourself. You're incapable. You're not even desirous. God has to do it, you see. He has to make you willing in a day of His power. His powerful working through the gospel that we declare to you today. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. You got it? You see, Christ, a person, not a religion. Not a religion. You can be religious and still not saved. You can be religious and still not love God. You see, you're either one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or you're a supernatural born God lover. In order for a man to love God and to love His ways, a man must be born again. His nature must be changed. Till that time, you see, you're a God hater. Every single man, woman and child born that way, hating God and hating His commandments, hating His word and hating His people. You know, hating one another, some of God's law is this, love God and love your neighbor. You know why people are killing and slaughtering people all over the world today? You know why you can never get away from that? Because man's made in the image of God. You hate God, you can't kill God, but you can kill man who He made in His image. You see, it's an alternative. You never stop the killing and slaughtering. You never stop all that until you change man's heart. You want to make the fruit good, then you make the tree good. You want to make the man good, the woman good, then you change the man, you change the heart. Then the fruit will be good. But you got to be born again, you see. As one good bishop, can anything good come out of a bishop, I ask?
I've just got two girls.
What?
I've just met two girls before, in the bus station.
Yeah.
Mary Bonner.
Yeah.
That's Sarah Block's
sister. What about them?
Yes, did you know?
What?
He's going to go.
Huh?
Some years ago. Now, I do agree, but I'm alright now, I'm sober.
Oh yeah, good for you. Stay sober. Stay sober. You gotta be.
See that place over there?
Yeah.
Where he knew? The grand. The uncle is Jack William Barry.
Yeah.
Christopher Lester Barry.
I'm
gonna go and see his wife.
Okay. Have a nice day, sir. Have a nice day. As I was saying, people, you know, you gotta be born again. You see, Christ dies for the ungodly. That's the gospel. You see, it's about a person, not a religion. Not about religion. It's about a person. His name is Jesus, God's Son, proved to be so by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Gospel tells you what He did. He died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. And He died, not because He deserved to die, but because you did. He died the death that you and I should have died. He died on that Roman cross, you see. Undeservedly so. And who did He do it for? He did it for the ungodly. You say, who's the ungodly? What does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God in your nature and your practice. And that's the way you come into the world, you see. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and of course, as a result of your sinful nature, well, sinful in your practice, until you're born again, until God changes your nature, you see, you'll remain just as you are. So you see, people, the good news of the gospel is about a person. His atoning death, Jesus, He died for sinners, just as the Bible said, predicted He would, so He did, died and rose again from the dead, in order to give eternal life to those who will believe on His name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's command with a promise, and you shall be saved. Salvation, you see. That's what the Bible's about. Start to finish, beginning to end. Not about religion, but about God's salvation and how God brings about that salvation through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But like I say, repentance and faith, you can't do these things yourself. These are the gift of God. The gift of God, you see, lest any man should boast. Only God, you see, Himself can give you those gifts. But Jesus, He says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened up to you. God says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon.
Hey, hello, sir. How are you?
Are you taking a
donation? No, okay. No.
Thank you. Which denomination are you?
Myself, I'm a Presbyterian. My friend is a Baptist.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. Have a good day, eh? Thanks for the offer, eh? So there you go, sir. See, we're not here to take money. We're here to give. We're givers today. And we're giving you the gospel, the good news, you know. Man's greatest need, I tell you, in any day and generation, people, is to be reconciled to God. You say you got great needs today. You say, I need a job, I need money. You say, I need a friend, I need a husband, I need a wife, I need healing, I need all kinds of things you need, you know. But I tell you today, people, your greatest need is to be reconciled to God. How can there ever be peace in the world? How can there be an end to the killing and slaughtering? How can there ever be peace in the world, in your homes, in your own heart, as long as you're at war with God? The carnal mind, the Bible says, is at enmity against God, at war with God. Never can be peace in the world. Never can be peace in your heart as long as you're at war with God. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ, by the blood of His cross, made peace for the world. But that peace has to be received willingly. Has to be received voluntarily by faith on your part. But of course, like I say, you can't believe. You can't repent. It's not a man to do this. You know, it's like trying to, for you to try and believe is like me trying to tell you to defy the law of gravity. You know? It's an impossibility. Might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces. But here's the good news. You see, God sent His Son into the world that through Him the world might be saved. God's desirous of people being saved. You see, that's why He sent His Son Jesus into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. It's God's desire that people should be saved. And of course, the cross, greatest evidence of God's love for sinners, the cross of His Son Jesus Christ, is a proof, is a demonstration of that desire of His to save, and the fact that Jesus actually did come and actually did die. Evidence of God's desire to save, you see? So, that's an encouragement to you, or it should be at least anyway. So maybe perhaps if you ask, and you keep on asking, maybe if you seek and keep on seeking, maybe if you knock and keep on knocking, God will open the door to you. Here's a sure fact, if you can come to my door this afternoon, you stand here all day long, I guarantee nobody will open the door. But if you knock, and if you're not loud enough, maybe, just maybe, somebody will answer the door to you. So you see, people, knock, says God, keep knocking, keep seeking. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Because people, hey, this is serious, we're talking here. This is grave, you know, this is solemn, because day coming, people, when you won't be able to ask, seek or knock. You won't be able to turn, there'll be no more repentance given, no more faith given, no more salvation. Day's coming when God's going to bring the shutters down on the day of grace. You missed the shops today, shops closed, you didn't get what you wanted. No matter, come back tomorrow, shops will be open again tomorrow. Hey, you're hearing the gospel here today, this might be the last time you ever hear it. Somebody under the sound of my voice today, and this is the last time you ever hear the overtures of God's love, the offer of salvation. Oh, people, it's serious, it's solemn, I know. But what if God was to require your soul this very night? Huh? Where would you spend eternity? Jesus speaks more graphically about hell than He ever does about God's love or anything else. Where the fire, the flames are never quenched, and where the worm does not die. People, you die in your sin, you're lost forever. You go to lost eternity, the damnation of hell. There's something to be saved from. The wrath to come. You're under the wrath. You're under the condemnation of God now. We're not here to condemn you. We don't need to do that. You're already condemned because you have not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. You're already under His condemnation. But you got to get out from underneath it. You got to repent. You got to change your mind about God, about sin, about God's Son, Jesus Christ. You got to change your mind. You got to repent. And you got to believe the gospel. Because the kingdom of God is at hand, says Jesus. So we urge you this afternoon, people, please think about these things. We offer you a copy of God's Word, offered to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you whatsoever. Word of God, able to make you wise for salvation. Won't make you clever, but it will make you wise for salvation, which is to be